coming into the church. The things we do to get people to come to Shiloh. There's a point. What's that? The lyrics were very fitting. And that's the point. I thought, you might find this hard to believe, but actually that song came to my mind. I was saying, Kathy and others were there, last Sunday night in the early prayer meeting, this song came to my mind and it said to me, that's the subject for this Sunday night. Last week we looked at how some people who long for hope in life think they'll find it in wealth and riches, but unfortunately for many, this particular route leads them to squandering their lives with prodigal, wasteful living. Let's just pray for God's word. Father, in the name of Jesus, tonight as we look on this subject again, there is hope. We ask, please, that you would open our eyes to behold wonderful things from out of your word and open our ears to hear what it is that your Holy Spirit is saying to us. Lord, we don't want to be people who squander our lives with prodigal living. We don't want to be people, Lord God, who when we're almost at that last gasp of breath, look back over our lives and realize what a waste. Lord, we want to be a people who invest now in you and in your word so that we know, Lord God, that we will reap a great reward, not because we deserve it, but because you are a gracious and a merciful God and you give great rewards to those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, tonight, speak to us all, please. Here in this hall tonight, those listening to the podcast or watching on Facebook, speak, Lord, please, and may your name be exalted and glorified in Jesus' name. From last week's story on Jesus' parable of the prodigal son, we learned that hope in life wasn't found in riches or in the pleasures of this world. You can go around all of the nations of the world. I was telling people recently about the time when Rita had mentioned about sketchboards, when we used to do the sketchboards outside the Northern Bank on a Saturday, Chris Barr, myself, and on a few occasions, my friend Robert Campbell would do a sketchboard with us, and anybody sees Robert, he has this deadpan look, and he had this sketchboard, and he had on it, it was a picture of a light bulb, a picture of a biscuit tin, and then you couldn't see what was written on the wax on the paper, but when he put the black paint across it, it would come to light. So he would wait till he see the traffic lights change and all the people crossing over, and as soon as the crowd door, he says, ladies and gentlemen, you might think that I'm 60 years of age, but I'm only 25. And I have traveled the world. I have traversed the Himalayas, and I have been into the deserts with the Bedouin, and I am going to share with you the three greatest pieces of wisdom that you will ever need in life. And so he points to the first one. He says, switch off lights when not in use. And the people all look and think, what a balloon. But they're not intrigued of what he's going to say next. So then he goes, store shortbread in a tin. And these people are saying, what in the name of Norah is this man going on about? And then with a quick flick of the black paint across the white paper, it came out in bold white writing, trust no one but Jesus. Trust no one but Jesus. And you see, this life, hope isn't found in the riches of this world. It's not found in the pleasures of this world. But as we saw from the story of the prodigal son, that true and lasting hope was found in the love of a father for his son. God the Father has blessed every one of us with life. And he wants us to be in a right relationship with him. But sadly, many people reject this truth, choosing to squander their lives in the ways of the world. However, just like the prodigal son's father who watched and waited on his son coming to his senses and returning home, so God the Father in heaven watches and waits on those whom he loves to come to their senses and leave behind the world of sin and the false hope to find true and lasting hope in him through Jesus Christ, his son. I wonder where you stand tonight. Are you squandering your life with prodigal living? With all of the blessings that God has given you, are you living your life for God, or are you squandering your life away? Well, let me just remind you tonight, God the Father loves you, and He is waiting on you to come to your senses and to return to Him, so that He will receive you because He loves you, and He will bless you with life forevermore through faith in His beloved Son, Jesus. You know, in the song by Rihanna, she sings, "We found love in a hopeless place. We found love in a hopeless place." And I found it strange, as I was saying, just how this actual song came into my head. At least when Rita gets a wee song during the prayer time, it's a hymn. You know, it's a chorus. I'm sitting there listening to these and just rhyming on to the Lord, whatever they were saying. I'm going, "We found love in a hopeless place." And all of these images of Rihanna dancing. And I found it really strange that this had come into my mind. And yet, I knew at that early prayer meeting when it happened that that would be the subject that I would be speaking on this week, to declare there is hope. Usually, you know, I don't know about you, but usually when I hear this song, and I don't thankfully know all the lyrics of it, I'm not into that type of music, but usually when I hear this song, I think of, above all things, online dating sites. Isn't that mad? When I hear her singing, "We found love in a hopeless place," I think of Match.com or eHarmony or Plenty of Fish, or God forbid, worse still, Tinder. Because in my opinion, you need to be in a hopeless place to use these. And yet some people say they find love in these hopeless places. Another funny thought that enters my head, I'll probably get murdered if I go to North Belfast, but another funny thought that enters my head when I hear Rihanna singing this song or watch her video is how she sings, "We found love in a hopeless place," while shooting the video in the New Lodge area of Belfast. Now, some people might suggest that's certainly one of Northern Ireland's hopeless places, but for the purpose of the tape, I don't think that. But did you know that part of the video was also recorded in Alderman Alan Graham's barley field, in fact just down the road, Desi, from your house? Part of it was recorded in Alderman Alan Graham's barley field off the Belfast dual carriageway. And I believe Rihanna was, to put it nicely, somewhat scantily clad as she danced around Alderman Graham's barley field. And I'm led to believe that as a born-again Christian, Mr. Graham is a born-again Christian, and I believe that for the sake of moral decency, Alderman Graham allegedly asked Rihanna, "Excuse me, love, could you put your clothes back on?" It went viral. It went right across the social media. It was on the radios, everything. And even Councillor Graham, or Alderman Graham, was on the radio speaking, and a brilliant witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, and saying, "I don't agree with this." But still, he allowed her to dance in the field so long as she put her clothes back on. "We found love in a hopeless place," she sings. "We found love in a hopeless place." Personally, I don't think anyone in their right mind could really call Alderman Graham's field a hopeless place. Because right beside it stands the massive barn with the words of John 3:16 emblazoned on its side. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, while that verse is viewed by many passers-by, people heading to Belfast on a regular basis, while that verse is being viewed by many passers-by, it proclaims there is hope for whosoever believes. How wonderful it is. And may God give that family the grace to continue to allow that barn to stay there for many years to come. Turn please to Mark chapter 5, and I'm going to read the first 15 verses. And this is a character from the Bible that I absolutely love, and yet we know very little about. Mark chapter 5. Then they came to the other side of the sea. This was Jesus and his disciples. They had been crossing the Sea of Galilee. There was a crazy, crazy storm. They thought they were going to die. And Jesus was asleep in the boat. And the disciples went to him and said, "Lord, Lord, do you not care that we are perishing?" And I always think to myself, they've really missed the point here. The very reason that Jesus was in the world at all was because he cared that people were perishing. But they were in this storm and they thought they were going to die. "Lord, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus stands up and speaks to the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still." And the wind and the waves obey him. And these guys are mesmerized at the authority of Jesus. And anyway, the boat comes to the other shore. So then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when they had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged Jesus earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There was about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I'm looking forward to meeting this man, because I know one day I'm going to meet him in heaven, and I'm looking forward to find out his name and just to chat with him. I don't want to say, "Ah, you're the guy that all the demons were in." You're not going to say to Mary, "Ah, yes, you're the prostitute." You want to know people's names. And I want to know this man's name, because this man's story is beautiful. This man's story is wonderful. This man's story is about finding love in a hopeless place. Alongside some others, this man ranks highly as one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Possibly my favorite of all, not counting Jesus, of course, would be the leper who came to Jesus. But this man ranks highly as one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I have spoken about him hundreds of times, and yet we know so very little about him. We're told that he had an unclean spirit. That is the way it is presented. It's almost like it is a singular thing. He had an unclean spirit. But later we hear that he had a legion of demons. Now a Roman legion, and that's I'm working out that that's what they were basing it on. A Roman legion in those days was about 5,000. So this man had between 2,000 and 5,000 demons in him, and it's just called an unclean spirit. This man's life, for whatever reason, was ruled by a legion of oppressive evil spirits. They tormented him day and night, continually trying to persuade him to kill himself. Have you ever been there? Have you ever heard that wee voice in your head says, "Oh, you would be better off dead"? Do you think that was the Holy Spirit speaking? It certainly wasn't. When you hear that voice in your head that says, "Ah, oh, you would be better off dead," that's an evil spirit speaking to you. When you watch on the news of the mass shootings in America or anywhere else, when you see people strapping bombs to themselves and going and detonating the bombs, believing whatever nonsense they want to believe, do you think it's the Holy Spirit who leads them to do these things? It is lying evil spirits that have overtaken people and have oppressed them and possessed them for that time. This man's life, for whatever reason, we don't know why he was like he was, but we know that he was ruled by oppressive evil spirits. They tormented him day and night. They continually tried to persuade him to kill himself. These evil spirits made this man's life one of abject misery. He often self-harmed. Such was the horror of this man's life. He would take sharp stones and rip himself open with sharp stones, and still he didn't die. And why did he not die? Because God had a purpose for this man's life. Maybe tonight there are people here, maybe there are people watching on Facebook or listening to the podcast, and you're into self-harming and you're wondering, why can I not die? It's because God has a purpose for your life. He loves you with an everlasting love, and he wants you to come to your senses and come back to him so that he can fill you with his love and transform your life. This man's life was one of abject misery, constantly self-harming. Sometimes they would take him into care for his own good. Or perhaps when family members tried to bring him home and confine him or imprison him, he had escaped and he had hide among the tombs. Day and night, people in the local area could hear this man screaming in torment, and I'm sure there would have been people sitting, "Oh, isn't that shocking? Isn't that terrible? Somebody needs to do something for that poor man." Other people may have been sitting and saying, "I wish somebody would put him out of our misery," because you get all types of people and views when they look at other people's sufferings. This man's life was one of utter hopelessness. And he lived among the tombs. He lived in a hopeless place. Then one evening, as he looked toward the Sea of Galilee, he saw a number of boats mooring on the shore. Perhaps he thought this was going to be some more well-intentioned people coming to try to restrain him and to take him into care. Perhaps they were coming just a wee tour, just to mock him or to try to drive him away from their community because he was scaring the locals. And then, from a distance, he sees Jesus. He sees Jesus step out of the boat, and immediately he ran to Jesus, fell down, and he worshipped him. You know, Mark's account suggests it was the demons who recognized Jesus first, and they pleaded with Jesus not to torment them. You see, there is a time coming when all of the demons, all of the hosts of hell, will be finally judged and cast into hell forever. But on that day, so will all who have rejected Jesus and the offer of salvation from God the Father through Jesus Christ. They recognized who Jesus was. They came to him, asking him, "Do not torment us." And Jesus commanded the spirits to leave the man, and they did so, entering a herd of pigs nearby, which we're told ran into the sea and drowned. The pigs freaked out and ran to their death. And these spirits were in a watery world, if you will. The herdsmen, of course, who were looking after the pigs, they fled. They fled like hell to get away and what's going on. And they ran and told everybody, "You're never going to believe what's just happened. You're never going to believe the looper who lives among the tombs. This guy, Jesus, just commanded these spirits to leave, and they ran into the pigs, and all the pigs freaked out and ran down the hill into the sea, and they've all drowned. You need to come out and see this." And they came out to see for themselves. And they found the man who had been demon-possessed sitting with Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. I need to just switch this off a second. Eventually, you need to read the story yourself, but eventually the man asked Jesus if he could go to be with him to wherever Jesus was going. You see, when Jesus touches your life in a way like he did with this man, you don't want to lose Jesus. You don't want to go away from Jesus. You want to be near Jesus. And this man asked Jesus if he could go with him. And Jesus said, "No. Go home. Go home and tell your friends. Go home and tell your family what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." Sorry about the microphones messing about. Because of the love and the compassion of Jesus, this poor, tormented man found love in a hopeless place. But let me ask you tonight, Christian, do you remember the hopeless place you were at when in his love and compassion Jesus found and saved you? Your hopeless place may not have been the hopeless place of our man in this account, but nonetheless, it was still a hopeless place. You may not have been demon-possessed. You may not even have been suicidal or self-harming, but nonetheless, the place where Jesus found you was a hopeless place. God's word teaches that anyone living outside of Jesus, anyone who is not saved, is living in a hopeless place. It doesn't matter how good your life might seem. It doesn't matter what riches you may possess. It doesn't matter what pleasures of the world that you think you're going to keep on enjoying. Anyone living outside of Jesus is living in a hopeless place. And if it wasn't for the Lord's grace and mercy and forgiveness, this world would be an utterly, utterly hopeless place. But thanks be to God for the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, the Lord found you in your hopeless place. He rescued you, and I hope you fell in love with him. See, I remember the 4th of July, 1984. I remember the hopeless place that I was in, lying in the fields where Bloomfield Shopping Centre is now built. And I remember years of despising Jesus, years of despising the Word of God, years of despising Christians. And in my hopeless place, thanks be to God, I cried out to the Lord, "Will you help me? will you save me? And in a moment, like the father of the prodigal son, in a moment, he had seen that I had come to my senses and cried out, will you help me? Will you save me? Will you rescue me in this hopeless, hopeless place, in this hopeless condition? And in a moment, he came to me and he rescued me and he set me free. The Apostle Paul says these words in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, that means while we were in our hopeless place, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. All Christians, all born again Christians can sing, we found love in a hopeless place. And it was found through Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone. Paul, Christian, I hope that you remember tonight where you found love. You found it not in the pleasures of the world, not in the riches of the world, but you found it in the love of a father for you, your father in heaven. And he demonstrated his love for you because while you were in your hopeless place, Christ, his son, died for you. We can sing, we found love in a hopeless place. Maybe tonight you're not a Christian. Maybe tonight you're not a follower of Jesus. Well, do you know that you're living in a hopeless place? Doesn't matter how good your life may be. Doesn't matter how wonderful things are for you at this time. Doesn't matter if you have all of the riches of this world. You are living in a hopeless place while you remain without Jesus in your life. Perhaps your life is tormented. Perhaps you have your own troubles and your own heartaches. Perhaps you don't have any peace of mind. Maybe you perhaps feel suicidal. Maybe secretly you're self-harming. Maybe to find a release from some of your torment, you're self-harming, or perhaps you're living among the tombs. That means you're living in the dead places of this world. It doesn't mean you're living in a graveyard. It means you're living among the tombs. You're living among the dead places of this world while you're looking for life and hope. Well, let me assure you tonight, because of the love and the compassion of Jesus, there is hope for you tonight. You don't have to live a life of abject misery, overwhelmed by heartache and pain. You don't have to allow your sin and your sinful ways to rob you of the life that you can have in Jesus. Like Alderman Graham's barn proclaims, like the Word of God teaches, there is hope for whosoever believes in Jesus. For God so loved the world, that includes you tonight, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that includes you tonight, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is the hope, ladies and gentlemen. There is the hope. You can find love in your hopeless place tonight. If, like the man in our story, you will come to Jesus and worship him, there is hope. Confess your sin. Agree with God that you are a sinner. Repent. Turn around and turn away from living your life your way and living in your sinful pleasures of this world, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you too can sing with all of the rest of the born again Christians, we find love in a hopeless place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you tonight for the greatness of your love. You search us out, O God. You come into this hopeless place, this sinful, sin-cursed world, seeking out those that are yours. Lord, thank you that every born-again Christian in this place tonight, watching on Facebook and listening to the podcast, that we can sing, "We truly found love in a hopeless place," because this world is a hopeless place. Without Christ, there is no hope. But thank you for the good news that whosoever believes in Jesus shall not perish but have everlasting life. We pray tonight that others would call out to you. Maybe, Lord, there's people tonight who are in a backslidden state, and they thought that the world would offer them all of the pleasures and the treasures that their heart desired, and Lord, it hasn't satisfied. Help them to see the hopeless place that they're in, and help them to come to their senses, Lord, and to return to you, that you might, Lord God, receive them in love. We pray for people, Lord God, who don't know you. People, Lord God, who don't even realize that this world is a hopeless place. That without Christ and outside of Christ, they live in a hopeless place. Lord, may they please come to know you. May you draw them by your Spirit onto yourself through faith in Jesus. We pray for people who are tormented by evil spirits. We pray for people, Lord God, who are self-harming. People, Lord God, who have no peace of mind. People who have no peace in their lives. People who are in torment, Lord God. People who are thinking that they have no reason to live, Lord God. Father, who hear the voices in their heads saying you would be better off dead. We pray for those people tonight that you would show them there is hope in Jesus. If they would come to their senses, if they would call upon the name of the Lord, if they would just believe in Jesus, Lord, that they might be saved and that they would find life forevermore in and through his name, and that they would be able to sing, "I found love in a hopeless place." We ask it in Jesus' name.